Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining this episode, we've got Bree and Aki. How are you two doing?
I hate my...
I'm here. We're good.
Aki's leaning away from the mic, I could tell.
Yeah. I started playing with paperwork. I hate my life still.
I thought we got the negativity out before the show, Aki. You're supposed to be happy
I am
now.
Negative. That's just who I am.
We're supposed to be upbeat and happy. And the reason why...
That's my job.
And the reason why is because Jacob's not here right now.
I mean, that does make me happier, admittedly. It does make it better.
This is a scheduled absence. He's not tardy this week. He's actually scheduled off. We will be recording with him probably tomorrow, so we could staple on his reviews at the end of the show. But for now, it's the three of us. And let's party, because Jacob's not here. Woo!
Yeah, and his planned absence could just continue to be an unplanned absence. I'm just saying, I'd be okay with this. Forever.
How's everyone doing? Like, Bree, how was your week?
Miserable. But I can say it with a happy face.
Yay.
At least one of us can.
Hey, I fake the happy face all the time.
I don't.
I'm dead inside. Yay. Does anyone have anything to talk about from the past week? Or are we just like diving right into news?
I am finally taking a vacation. An actual just a vacation. Not, and I'm working while I'm there. Not, and my mother is going to have me install a bunch of shelving and hang things on walls and move furniture around. An actual vacation where I just sit and relax outside of my home. I don't remember the last time I did that.
Is it going to be one of those kinky lark places?
No.
Oh.
It's just really normal, boring relaxation that I desperately need.
Are you like Fair going enough. Somewhere special, or is it just like
I'm
middle
going
of
to
nowhere?
Visit friends in the middle of nowhere.
Sounds like when Pernell went to the Poconos the other week.
there will be a trip to the Disneyland of gas stations.
What? Bucky's.
Bucky's, exactly.
I can't explain it to you.
It's the Disneyland of gas stations. They have their own mascot that shows up and you can buy stuff. There's like easily 50 gas pumps at once and there's just, they have hot food.
You can buy anything there. Damn near.
It's like a department store meets a gas station, convenience store, hot.
And apparently they have some of the cleanest bathrooms on the planet.
With wild art you can buy on the wall that may or may not be from, you know, local artists or something. It's really
art
weird.
In the bathroom? I don't know if I trust that.
On the way to the bathroom.
Okay.
I mean, it might be in the bathroom.
Like
we don't
over
know.
Over the urinal? Like,
you
can get splashes on that. I'm not trusting any.
Bucky's is started off as a Texan thing, and now it's just all over the South, apparently. I've never been to one, but I've watched videos of them, and they're amazing.
This will be the second one I've been to now.
Nice.
I have to see if there's any on route to visit my dad. I want to go visit him sometime. He lives in Tennessee. I miss him.
I think there's some in Tennessee. There's one in Kentucky?
Yes.
Ooh. I may have to go visit that. Depending on where it is in Kentucky.
I'm gonna go visit a gas station. Woo!
You don't understand.
No, I don't understand.
I didn't believe
very
either.
Weird.
I thought it sounded really weird, and a friend of mine insisted, like, threw money at me and said I should stop because I was going past the one in South Carolina, and he's like, you have to stop.
Here, and give me a second. I will give you a video, Joe, and then you won't fully understand.
I'll watch
it now.
It'll be my homework for next week.
Yeah, it doesn't even completely display the gloriousness that is apparently a Buc-ee's. I've obviously never been one because I'm not Southern.
They have fountain machines. There's like an entire wall of just like every imaginable flavor and like slushies and just like it's ridiculous.
It's heaven on earth. As a
whole wall of nothing but beef jerky. Like, they have their own in-house brands, and then they have like flavored sugar coated nuts. But seriously, they have
Buc-ee's.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, but they have like a children's department, and then they have like, you know, athletic clothing and outdoor wear and like a whole kitchen section.
You can buy a smoker there for like a couple grand why not?
Yeah. It's and then their brisket, so they like cook it up fresh and they have like people chopping it up and then brisket and nuts, exactly. It's a whole thing.
There's a video for you, Joe, in general. Have fun.
All right, I'll check it out later. We'll talk about that next week. Bree, you'll be at one next week.
Yeah, I will. I will let you guys know next time I'm on the show.
I have got to see what a
Buc-ee's I have pictures from my last trip somewhere.
You're gonna need to find those and send them to me.
I know, it's the weirdest thing.
Don't get it. You will, I promise.
If I were to go visit my friend and take a picture of a store called Slackers, it seems it's just like a cool store.
I have a store like that near me that I took my friend Jay to when he came to visit me, and he had a great time. I have a lovely picture of him with a cube animal, a unicorn thing on his head. I don't even know why, but that was the shining moment that we took pictures of. But yeah, it's just like a used media store, but it's like fabulous.
I think the only store I've ever really been compelled to take pictures in was Nintendo World in New York. That's just a cool store. It's all Nintendo stuff.
Yeah.
They used to have the Gulf War Game Boy there, but that got sent back to Nintendo headquarters. That's been retired.
Mm.
Yeah. Speaking of Nintendo, that could lead into the news of the week. Eurogamer is reporting that Nintendo was demoing the next handheld privately to developers at Gamescom, rumored to be on par power-wise with current gen console.
I don't believe any fragment of what was just said other than they're demoing it privately.
So that's literally the everything but the power you believe.
Yep. Yep, so basically.
One thing you don't believe.
Yep.
Okay.
I liked it how I said it though, damn it.
Apparently it was running an enhanced version of Breath of the Wild, as well as that Matrix Awakens tech demo that came out a while ago. So the fact that it was running that demo, that speaks volumes. It could put it on par, at least with the Series S.
Nice.
Not that the Series S is a beacon of power these days or anything, given all the issues that developers are seeming to have with it.
Yeah.
But everyone's calling it the Switch 2. I'm not going to call it that because Nintendo doesn't really call things the 2. They have the Wii U and the Super Nintendo, but it's not like the PS2, PS3,
or yeah, PS5. This is going to be something like the Switcheroo or some shit.
I don't know. It could be good. The Switch took the world by storm. As long as they don't give it a super confusing name, I think they'll be good.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Game Pass. New games are coming to Game Pass. It's a fairly small lineup, but it's a good one. Available now, Starfield.
Yeah,
cool.
Probably the biggest Xbox game in a decade.
Yeah, and I've only heard really good things about it. You know, there's been some bugs here and there, but it seems like this is one of their least buggy games.
Yeah.
Which is, with how buggy most of their games are, that doesn't sound like it's saying a lot, but apparently it's like significantly less buggy than anything else they've put out. The only bugs I've really seen are sometimes not all the images for a character will appear in, so maybe they might be missing their face, still have their eyes and mouth, which is one of the creepiest fucking things, or they won't have a body or something. But otherwise, it seems like it's generally unbuggy.
I enjoy the bugs, though. I really do. And, like, seeing all the crazy things that people are doing. Well, someone made, like, a montage of, like, all of these weird, like, uncanny shots of NPCs where their eyes were, like, super bugged out and weird. And there was this one guy who, like, just put, like, 2 million potatoes in his hold or something, and it caused the physics to suddenly break. You know, just, like, I'm enjoying that content that's coming out. So, yeah.
I saw all the potatoes in the hull of the ship. I didn't know that it did anything. I thought someone was just being weird.
Yeah, no, they went to go. And then, like, on top of that, in the clip that they showed, it was like the NPC they have on their ship was just like, there's too much stuff here. You need to get rid of something. And he put, like, the one last potato in the hold. And then, like, the physics started to freak out or something finally. But yeah.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's great.
Like all the cheese wheels you would see in Skyrim clips.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Starfield, I have opinions on it, but it's too early to really go into them. I do want to play it more. It's what I expected it to be, for good and for bad, if that makes sense. Like, it's what I was expecting, but it's also not blowing me away. Just because I'm not as big into the space stuff as everyone else. I want a new fucking Elder Scrolls. I want a new fantasy game.
Well, that sucks for you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm having fun with the game. I'm not saying it's a bad game at all. It's a fantastic game. It's well made. I haven't run into any bugs so far. Nice. The map sucks, and the UI is atrocious. Trying to figure out how to do anything in this game takes about 20 steps. And even then, I'm still not sure what I'm doing. It's just very confusing UI-wise.
Okay, I'm not sure if I'm going to like it then, because the UI is a pretty important thing, especially for me, because I have so much trouble just in general with video games with my eyesight. I need to know what I'm doing on the fucking menu at the bare minimum.
It's not hard to read or anything. It's just kind of obtuse and confusing.
That just hurts my soul.
Someone else uses the word obtuse. That makes me feel so at home.
I mean, it's on Game Pass, so just try the game. There's no reason not to try it. It's a great game.
There's one very, very clear reason not to try it. Do you remember how big this game is? How much room does it take up again?
Depends. Are you going to play it via the cloud?
No.
Ew.
Why not?
Because I have taste.
What's that have to do with anything?
Bad internet.
Try it via the cloud. Give it like an hour on the cloud. I mean, the beginning isn't a super intense beginning. There is a gunfight at the beginning, but it's not.
I get to shoot people in the face. Woo!
I think it's very playable via the cloud, and you know, it's part of Game Pass Ultimate, so give it a try, and if you're having fun with it, then make space and
that's not feasible. I'm not like you. I don't have like 50 different hard drives. I have what's on the system. I need that room to play the games that
I don't have any USB hard drives to throw some old stuff on.
No.
Nothing.
Nope.
We got to get you a hard drive.
Yeah.
Like even just a standard hard drive to throw your Xbox One and 360 games on.
I have those on my Xbox One and Xbox 360, actually. I don't put any of those on my Series
X. So your Series is only optimized titles?
Yep. I think there might be like one or two small ones that aren't.
You're going to have to take some screenshots, and we're going to go through it and make some space for you.
Make some decisions. Like, is it time to let go of the Master Chief Collection? Like...
Oh, I haven't had that installed for a while. I 100%ed that and got rid of it.
I had a feeling you did, but still, I just, you know, like those are the sorts of games I think of. Like, is it time? Can you let go of Destiny 2?
I don't have that. I do still have Halo 5. I need to play the multiplayer of that piece of shit and get that done.
Mm.
You know, that I wouldn't play via the cloud, but Starfield, yeah. Cloud is good for RPGs. Like, it's not good for sports and racing, that's for sure. Trying to play the show when I was in the hospital the one time and trying to play the show on my phone Oh my lord, that was near impossible to get a hit.
I still stand by, though. Something about Amtrak Wi-Fi in the middle of the industrial section, I was able to successfully play Sea of Thieves on my phone for like a good hour and a half. And like, that was the most impressive thing in the early days of the cloud. Because it was during the like beta or whatever I got into to test it. And I just happened to be traveling and was stuck in a train station at like 6 o'clock in the morning waiting for my train. And yep. I was like, all right, let's give it a, let's see what we can do. And yeah, I had a great experience with Sea of Thieves. So yeah.
That's another great game for it. It's not a super intensive game that requires fast reflexes for the most part.
Oh, it can.
It can, but for the most part.
I just avoided getting into combat. I was just, you know, sailing around doing some basic stuff. But yeah.
Go fishing for a while.
Ugh, no. Never again. So many hours of fishing in that game.
I'll say something I'm having more fun than Starfield, Sea of Stars.
Oh, nice.
Which is also on Game Pass.
Yeah,
Sea of Stars, that's like hitting every spot that I've wanted a game to hit for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, good.
Fans of Chrono Trigger need to play Sea of Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's my reward for later this month when I get all of my homework done like a good girl.
Anyway, September 14th, Solar Ash is hitting Game Pass. Finally nice. Coming to Xbox, hitting Switch as well, but hitting Game Pass. So, Solar Ash from the Hyper Light Drifter team. Heart Machine, I believe.
Very nice. Those are good games. I'm so bad at them.
Then September 19th, Lies of P.
Yes.
You for confirming what I said? Yes.
Give me.
Funny thing is, you and Purnell are both like competing for that one.
Purnell can go fuck himself.
That depends what platform we get, if anything. I doubt we'll get it, but we'll see. Not all good news, though. Despite the three banger games that just hit Game Pass, there are a bunch that are leaving.
One of them makes me really sad.
Into the mic, Aki.
Said one of them makes me really sad, and that was into the mic. I was just quiet because I was sad.
Yeah, let's go down the list. Origami 2. Yep, amazing cultivation simulator on Windows.
Didn't even know that was on.
Yeah. Civilization 6.
Eh.
I own that.
Danganronpa V3, Killing Harmony Anniversary Edition.
That's a shame. It doesn't shock me, but it still kind of sucks. Those are good games.
I know the one that hurts the most for you, Aki. DC League of Super Pets, The Adventures of Crypto.
Yes. Ouch, my poor soul. Hear how it burns in the pit of eternal fire. I had a fun
couple of hours with that.
It's from Outright. All their games are solid anymore. I like what Outright does, and hopefully we'll see more OG games on Game Pass, but that one's leaving. Yeah. Fuga Melodies of Steel is leaving.
Oh, that's a shame. No one else gets to cry.
I mean, the game is still going to be for sale.
Oh, so people are still going to cry. Yeah. I'm sorry, everyone.
Metal Hellsinger is leaving.
That's a shame. Lots of people like that.
I don't know if I'm going to get it finished in time, which makes me sad, but I will just buy it later.
Is it hard to finish?
I just don't have time, and I've not been feeling great. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
Tainted Grail Conquest is leaving.
Don't know about that game.
Yeah. Me neither. We're all on the ball.
Sorry,
today.
Devs.
I know it's like an RPG with card game mechanics.
Oh,
yeah. I haven't really followed too much about that one. And then the big one leaving, Train Sim World 3 is not only leaving Game Pass, it's getting fully delisted. Mm-hmm. So if you want Train Sim World 3, get it now before it's gone.
And all of its DLC.
All $4,000 of DLC.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's not the worst game for that, but it's a lot.
What is the worst game for DLC? What do you think?
I think, what is it? DJ Max Respect or whatever is one of the really bad ones for that.
All the rhythm-based fucking ones are, because they have, you know, 1,000 plus fucking items for you to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't need to buy them. There's no achievements tied to them. I think in DJ Max, there are achievements tied to the DLC.
Yeah, I think there are achievements.
Mm-hmm. And that one's probably the worst.
Dead by Daylight would probably be pretty bad for that, too. Especially since they also, like, shelve content.
Yeah.
Dead by Daylight, Dead or Alive. Mm-hmm. They have way too many costume packs.
Mm-hmm. None of those are required for achievements.
True, but you want to stare at them anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a pervert. Yeah. Of course I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Alone in the Dark has been bumped to January 16th.
That sucks.
I mean, it gets it out of the crowded fall, at least.
Yeah. Yep.
And they at least had the balls to admit that's exactly why they did it, which was pretty fantastic, honestly. That was lots of respect for that. They were like, yeah, no, it's too crowded. We don't want to put our game in there. It's like, yeah, fair enough. I get that. At least you're not pretending that it's some other reason. You're honest. I approve. Awesome.
Well, and, you know, their PR team has probably been paying attention to all of the trends and all of the other, you know, companies that are, you know, have advertised releases. And that's like one of the things that PR teams do is they weigh all those options to find you the right release window so that you're not losing, you know, attention or hype or whatever, like, you know, oh, Starfield's getting released this week. Yeah, no, probably not a good idea for our game, you know.
Yeah, probably not. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Speaking of Starfield, it hit over 1 million concurrent players on launch day across all platforms.
Nice. And I think it hit 6, like today or yesterday in total.
6 million players?
Yeah, or something like that, I think. Yeah,
Not concurrent, obviously.
I would hope not. That'd be insane. I mean, I guess it's possible it is single player. I mean, that would be nuts, though.
Right. Everybody who owns Starfield, log on at, you know, some standardized time and let's break the world. There you go.
And we're saying, let's 6 million players today. That is impressive. Mm-hmm. First week.
Yeah.
Also in the first week, Sea of Stars sold over 250,000 units. Despite being on Game Pass and PS Plus, still sold 250,000.
And it's like awesome. A $35 game, right? Yeah. Like, it's, that is a lot of money.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I don't know what their deals were to get it on the varying passes, but like, even if you cut that number in half for, you know, certain costs and money that they lose to being on the store and varying, you know, all those other little things that add up, like, that's a lot of money. A lot.
I think they said they were discussing numbers for, like, the first year of the game, and they hit it already the first week.
Yeah.
So, very nice. Congrats to them. Absolutely worth it. And the best part is it's on all platforms, so play it.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's not on all platforms, which I hope gets rectified sooner than later, Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster Series is up to 3 million units sold across all platforms, except Xbox.
Yeah.
Come on, Square.
Anytime that comes in the news in any facet, you're going to cover it just so you can be like, I want it on Xbox, aren't you?
I'm still crying about it a little bit too. I just want to play Final Fantasy VI. Like that's it.
Seriously, like I want 4 as well, but
I mean I want the other ones, but I just want to replay. I mean, I could go in my living room and like plug in a PlayStation and play it on.
Am
disc.
I the only one who's still upset we haven't gotten 7 Remake? Am I like?
I'm also upset.
I've honestly given up on 7 Remake.
That doesn't shock me. What about 16? Have you given up on that too?
No, that's only out a few months.
I don't care about 16.
They confirmed it is coming to PC. They're working on it. So maybe an Xbox reveal will be in the future.
Yeah. And the only problem with 16 I have is his name is Clive. I just can't get over that. That just, I don't know why it bothers me so much, but I can't stand that.
Why?
I just said I don't know why it bothers me so much. I have no clue. I just fucking hate it.
Anyway, some news we covered briefly on Tuesday. We'll revisit it here. Nintendo Switch Online had some updates for September, and they are quite unique. Super Nintendo got Kirby Star Stacker, which is a Japanese import game.
Okay.
Cool.
Nintendo got Downtown Neketsu March Super Awesome Field Day, which is a Japanese Kunio-kun game. like the River City Ransom, Super Dodgeball vein. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's one of them, Japanese, full Japanese. And then Joy Mech Fight, another Japanese game. So three games so far, and all three are Japanese imports. But we got one, all American, baby. Game Boy Color, Quest for Camelot, based on the movie Quest for Camelot.
So you know it's quality, because it's based on a movie.
A friggin' licensed game? Like, how did that happen? We don't even have Super Mario Land on the fucking service, and we got Quest for Camelot?
Maybe it's a conspiracy because there's going to be some movie revival, and this is like our first little seed of things to let us, like little breadcrumbs that they're giving us.
It's apparently a solid game, though.
Okay. Never played it. I don't know.
Disney Gargoyles Remastered was announced and is going to be launching October 19th for all platforms.
Very nice.
I think it was mentioned earlier this summer, but it was like officially announced, like, hey, this is actually happening in here, trailer. So, Root Beer's mentioning there's a new Rugrats game that's coming to the NES and current platforms, but their limited run games is putting together an NES release for the game, so that's cool. Outright Games announced a new movie set in the world of Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, slated for next year on console and PC. No other details on that one.
Okay.
But hey, new Ninja Turtles, I'm there.
Yeah.
Then
I'm excited for the Violent one that's apparently coming out.
Oh, Last Ronin?
Yeah, that's one I'm really excited for.
That's not going to be from Outright Games.
Who's making that one?
I don't know. I don't know if there's a developer announced for that. Mr. Freight hanging out in chat, you stupid bastard. how's your butt feeling, Jacob? How's it going?
Keep kipping.
Great timing with Jacob hanging out in chat, because the last bit of news I have is a tribute to Jacob, because we've got Annapurna Movie Watch.
I thought this entire section was going to die with him.
Nope. We got a movie watch. Stray is getting a movie adaptation. Yes. Annapurna Animation is working on a movie version of the game.
Okay.
I would watch it.
I'd watch it too. It's a cat.
I mean, all the cat things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the news I got. Anything on your end?
No.
I think you covered the couple notes I had.
Yeah. I only had two and you covered both, so.
Well, I guess we could just move right into reviews unless there's anything else anyone wants to talk about.
Nope.
Just nope. Fuck this. We're moving on.
I am so overheated right now. I just want to get this done.
All right, well, I guess we will move on to reviews. Bree, you ready? You're leading things off.
I am not ready in the slightest. This will be the worst words that make any sense, maybe. I don't know, in some order out of my mouth on the show so far.
First game to talk about tonight is Cats in the Other Lives, developed by Cultic Games, published by Overgames, released September 1st on Xbox One and Series X and S for $19.99, coming later this fall to PS5, PS4, and Switch. Following the passing of Bernard Mason, the patriarch of the family, all the remaining Masons return to their childhood home for one last time. As Aspen, the cat of the household, players will take a journey across the hopes, disappointments, and regrets of the enigmatic Mason family, traversing through a rich narrative that spans over decades. Is the cat just a pet, or does this creature play a more mysterious role in our lives? Bree, what is going on in Cats and the Other Lives?
So, words. I have them. first thing I want to say, that while there is a cute cat in this game, this is a very mature game. Not very mature, like it's a mature game. Let's just, you know, be right on about that. I can make some comparisons in some of the story to like The Haunting of Hill House, if you guys know what that is. This is got a lot of really great things to do with being a cat. If you like things about cats, you want to be able to do cat things like claw furniture and, you know, be scared by your own reflection, this game has all of those things for you. But this is very much about telling a story of, you know, family trauma and just years and years of I don't know, bad blood and family mysteries and all sorts of things that you're trying to unfold. And the story is told from the perspective of the cat. So you are limited in what you can see of conversations, whether or not humans leave the doors open for you. You can meow and try and get their attention in certain cases to let you out the window, to go chase down a mouse. You get into like a fight with some crows at some point. There's some other cats you run into outside. But your interactions, you're learning the story of this family and trying to find out. And it kind of starts out feeling like maybe the house is haunted, and then, you know, maybe not so much. It mentions in the little intro blurb there, that the cat also is helping affect the story. And so as you're going through, I wouldn't call it voice acting in the standard, like we're saying our lines out loud, but there is like little bits of stuff to do with the text. There's lots of murmuring and lots of good audio, ambient sounds. The story starts out like right at the funeral, basically. And so you have all these people and you can hear the little murmurs and the little shuffles around the house as you move through as the cat. And as you go from room to room, you get little bits of dialogue, and there are things that you get to interact with that help move the story along. At a certain point, there's like a stagnation. There's some uncomfortable conversation between a family member that not everybody likes. And you as the cat get to jump up on the table and like press the buttons on the TV to change the channel. And eventually it turns to a news story about the Mason family and how they're, patriarch just died, and there's all this mystery surrounding like his eldest son or his first son died or mysteriously disappeared like years ago. And so there's just all these different mysteries unfolding. And if you've ever had to deal with the death of a family member, and this is where some of the mature part comes in, because it is pretty deep and dark and kind of dealing with the different family arguments that crop up in times like these, but the cat kind of saves the day, and maybe it's like a special power. So, you know, we know things like cats can see in the dark, so that shows up in the game. But also cats, you know, we like to make jokes about like, oh, did they see a ghost or something? Well, our cat, Aspen, who is from a long line of other cats from the same bloodline, all named Aspen, can see what I would call ghosts of the past, whether or not this Aspen was alive to have seen it or it was a previous Aspen. We don't know, but we get to see some of the story unfolding through those avenues as well as the cat moves through the house. And it's just a unique, I'm saying that word, but it's a unique storytelling experience. It's very different from the typical storytelling experience for this type of narrative, and I felt like the pacing was sort of like what I would expect from, like I said, like Haunting of Hill House. Other things to note about this, it is some of the most gorgeous pixel art I have seen in a while. If you are a fan of pixel art, oh my goodness. And not just the art itself, if you know anything about digital art in this style, it's not just the art, but the animations of the different characters were absolutely stunning and amazing. Like, I forgot that I was watching a pixel art game, and like the cat movements were so, so good. And not just the cat, like the humans. There's this one point where you see the ghosts of like these hippies like doing a dance. And there's just the dance movements, and every movement that is put into these character animations is so just impressive. And the art itself, just the depth in the art, there's like particle effect every once in a while, but the lighting is so spot on. And I think it's so important because I've talked about this concept in other games where, it's not just the characters that we see, like the people, but the house itself is a character. And there is so much attention to detail in the house that you can see that this old creepy mansion is falling apart and that it has that character. And when, you know, you break something, you get to see this really like believable broke. It's really well done. Music and ambient noises and everything that just kind of brings the whole thing to life. And it's just a really good storytelling experience, all told from the perspective of a cat. I did run into one problem that I was, for whatever reason, I had a save issue. It only appears to be a Series X issue, or at least a series issue. As far as I can tell, it works just fine on an Xbox One, where my cloud save didn't pull properly. But I have been in contact with the publisher, and they are working on that with some help from, you know, what I ran into to narrow down where to look for it.
Well, you're breaking games. Welcome to the show. Well,
I know. It's what I do now. Yay. No.
It's what everyone does on, like, everyone on this show is just so good at breaking shit. Amazing.
Well, I mean, it's not my first rodeo with that either, to be fair, but,
breaking things is fun.
I still just, you know, I always want to see people, you know, if it means that I found something that helps, you know, an otherwise really great experience, you know, get fixed and get out there, like, I want to help. So, yeah. But so far, that same issue only seems to be affecting Series X. It works perfectly fine on an Xbox One console. So as for other, you know, whether PlayStation or whatever, I don't know that there is any issues with that. I think it was like a cloud save issue that just bummer.
Weirdness. But the weirdness aside, any other thoughts on the game?
It's just a really great story and really great art. And I don't know how else to describe the game in a way to explain to people that I think if you like a good, dark, thoughtful story, you like the idea of something a little bit different in terms of telling a narrative about people's lives and that sort of thing, I think that this is just absolutely worth taking a look at. So,
cool. Official verdict at $20.
I mean, if they can get that save issue, absolutely a buy it for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, next up, How to Escape, developed by Break First Games, published by Just for Games, released August 31st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $14.99. Requires two players and requires the use of a PC or phone app for player two. How to Escape is an escape simulation game where two players will need to cooperate on an asymmetrical gameplay and devices. Talk together, help each other will be your new motto to survive and How to Escape. Bree, tell us about your time playing How to Escape.
I have had great times with it, and I have had frustrating times with it. let me first explain the story, because there's a little meta here, and I appreciate that. So, first of all, the story is your name is Emmy. You've been kidnapped. If you are the primary player, we're going to say like the primary player and the secondary player, because this matters. The primary player has been abducted and finds themselves awake on a train trapped in a room. They don't know what's going on. And then if you are the second player, the secondary player, you get to see on your free companion app that you have had some mysterious stranger pop out of nowhere, drop an envelope on you, and you find a phone in there, and it's ringing, and it's your sister, that's me, on the train, crying, like, what is going on? And then you get, like, Jigsaw telling you that you've got, you know, so much time to get to the end of the train, or you're gonna die.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So your brother on the phone has to help you with this special phone, with special apps, with things that show up as time progresses. You have to talk with your partner, your sibling. And so as far as asymmetrical puzzle solving goes, this one was a bit of an interesting meta, because of course you're not two people playing in the same universe. Like, for example, in We Were Here, you are both two people, it's asymmetrical, but you're in different parts of a castle, but you're still in a castle, and you're still both playing the game together, and you can even occasionally see each other. In this case, there's an extra layer of simulation that all you have is this phone, is your only way to solve things with this one person, and that's it. So, on the train, I can describe certain things, but I have no idea what my partner could be looking at, because they have this phone app. And it was kind of funny, until I flipped roles and looked at the app. I didn't even understand how to coach my partner because the idea of them being on a phone didn't occur to me. There was a point in time where I remember saying to one, as I played this with two different people to kind of get a different perspective on things. And I was like, oh, is there like another page? Like you swipe your phone, there's other pages, right? Like I wouldn't have thought to do that because I didn't have that interface of a phone in front of me. I'm just looking at a room, panicking, going, I see a piano. I see a place to put some boxes. I have pots and pans and a recipe book. Like, what do I do? And the more frustrating one that I did earlier today was in a kitchen, and I still don't know how to solve the puzzle, but I got through it. I don't know why it worked, but it worked.
It's always my favorite in escape room games when you just accidentally solve a puzzle and they're like, how'd you do that? And you're like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I've played through some of these levels a couple times now because there are, at least for, you know, Xbox and probably PlayStation, there's, you know, trophies and achievements. I'm concerned with, so there's speedrun achievements. And so, of course, I wanted to go back and try and see if I could do that because they were ending in the number 8 and I hate it.
Oh, yes.
Only because I'm really close to a big milestone and I don't want to have to work too hard to fix my number. And I was like, oh.
So, Joe, how long until you get this game?
I only have one speedrun achievement left to do and I can fix it. It'll be fine.
Nice. Congrats.
But yeah, so I will say that there is an accessibility feature that I appreciate, and it's that you can turn the timer off. There is a timer where you have so much time to solve the puzzle, or like the, you know, train crashes, or I don't really know. As you get through the story, you get, like, each time you get to a new train car, you get a little bit more of the story, and you find out, like, apparently why you were kidnapped is some revenge thing and, you know, all that. I mean, so it's got like a little bit of story kind of pushing you through. I will say, though, that as I've played a lot of escape room type and asymmetric puzzle type stuff, and some of these just didn't make a lot of sense. Replaying them, once you know how the gimmick is done, it makes replaying it kind of pointless. Like, it's too easy. So it's really easy to go back and get the speedrun, except for the kitchen, because I still don't actually understand why that last puzzle. And this was the weirdest thing.
We got to get Aki game to play with you, because she can figure all that shit out. Like, Aki is amazing at escape room games.
And I'm great at them. And I played with one of my regular partners that I play that sort of game with. And you know, we did a fine job at it. But what I found is that there are some things in these puzzles that if you are not well-versed in these sorts of puzzles already, or have a certain institutional knowledge of, like, things that maybe the average person doesn't, you might be at a disadvantage to solve some of these puzzles. Like, they don't give you enough something ambient to figure it out. So Morse code is a little more common, but, like, having an entire section only in French was a bit of a challenge for my partner. And they didn't even know it was French to tell me it was French, because then I could have translated. But they didn't, you know, and so this became, there was a couple of puzzles where it just was a little too far to one direction for requiring knowledge to figure out. You had a question, Aki.
Yeah. How I said no to this for a very simple reason, because I was asked about this too.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that this sounded like reminded me so much of Keep Talking and No One Explodes or something like that. It was called.
To a point, yes, and also no. So, and this is, you know, let's talk about the companion app. So, and this is the weird thing that as an individual experience with a friend, it can be just fun for someone who, say, likes the reward of achievements or something. Your partner doesn't get any of that. They do get some interaction. They do get phone calls where they get, and little cutscenes where they get to hear the, you know, the kidnapper talk as well. And they have a very different interaction. But I don't know that I felt that it was as rewarding to the person on the other side. Now, being a conversation on a stream or in a room together, or, you know, over the, you know, a party chat, I don't know, like, it could be rewarding for the reward of the friends we made along the way, or the solving the puzzles in the first place. Like, I'm not denying that there is that amount of fun, but the interface and interactivity of each side was so very different. I didn't feel like I had as much fun with the app side of things. And it was complicated to describe some of the things that they were trying to have you describe for not being able to see something, or more so than the average experience I've had in that asymmetrical sort of describing things.
Seems like a fairly uneven experience.
It is a little uneven, and I got some notes from the different people that I played with that ran the companion app for me so that I could, you know, get achievements. one of the things I ran into, I actually could not reliably run the app on my phone. I ended up having to download the Steam app to do it. I had someone who ran it on iOS, and they said that they had some struggle with things, you know, flipping to landscape or portrait inappropriately, or just... They felt like something should have been there when it shouldn't. Another critique was that on the Steam app, you still only get a little phone, which is trying to keep with the meta of you're doing this from a phone, but it just made it kind of a small screen. And there are some things that you just like really hard to zoom in on, that you really needed to be able to solve the puzzles. And the app works. I like the meta of it. I think that the idea is fairly well executed, but I feel like it was a little one-sided in terms of the amount of fun and in interactivity. So, yeah, it's
on the bright side, it's a two-player game where the second player doesn't have to pay for shit.
That is true. But then from the replayability standpoint, if the other person did want to try the other side, the puzzles would kind of be ruined for them.
Yeah.
And I did run into enough times where I redid something for a speed run where the answer was exactly the same and I could just basically cheat my way through it. And not just the way the puzzle worked, but the exact like number or picture or, you know, things I needed to put on a pedestal were identical. So
this seems like something that you could find a guide to and just plow through.
Ish, because I think there's enough variability in some of the puzzles where you would still need to at least have someone explain this is how this puzzle works. And there is, I honestly want someone to prove to me how this one puzzle works, because I've gotten it three times now, but I don't know why. and I do speak French, and I tried to go into the app and like read it myself while running both at the same time to try and understand what was going on, and I just... I'm still not 100% sure why my solutions worked, but they did. So, yeah.
Well, the game's $14.99. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to put this at least to try it. I think that if you enjoy this and you're looking for a challenge, there's a lot of neat concepts here that are reasonably well executed. But again, it makes it a hard sell for two people to be able to want to play together. And get even experiences. So,
cool. Well, that is it for you. We will let you get going so you can do your own stream tonight. What's on the docket for you?
My brain has melted more Far Cry. Yay.
Yay.
Make things explode.
Yay. You will not be here next week. So enjoy your week off. Enjoy your
vacation. I'm going to vacation. I'm going to relax and do nothing.
Cool. You could be like Jacob. Do nothing.
Yeah, I feel like I have advice for Jacob, if he's still listening.
He might be. Jacob, are you still there? I don't know if he's still.
If you're still in the stage where everything is leaving your body, get some Vaseline and just shove it up there. It'll make everything so much better.
Astroglide that bitch.
He won.
Son of a bitch. He won the drawing.
Oh, that's good.
Doing a game drawing in chat, and he's the shithead who wins. So let's see if he shows up to claim his prize.
All right. Well, that was my final words anyway. Get some Vaseline or something and just put it right up in there. It'll make it easier.
Sounds good. You have yourself a wonderful night. Words of wisdom.
You too. Have yes. Enjoy the rest of your show. Goodbye.
Bye. All right. Next up is Agatha Christie, Hercule Poirot. I know I'm terrible with that name. Is it Poirot? Poirot?
I think it's Poirot. I don't remember fully because that Poirot. Was like four games ago.
Man. All right. I've played Agatha Christie, Hercule Poirot, The London Case, developed by Blazing Griffin. People in chat are going to be like, you are the stupidest person ever. Published by Microids. It released August 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $39.99, PC for $29.99. Root beer, WTF. I knew it. In this detective adventure game, you'll take on the role of the famous detective as he joins forces with Lloyd's of London to ensure transportation, protection, and a sale of valuable painting of Mary Magdalene. The painting is to be the centerpiece of a new exhibit at a London museum featuring other works of eclectical art on loan from Brussels. Eclectical? Whatever. They use big words in this. I don't know big words. Me dumb. Aki, tell us about this one.
Okay, and this, you play as Belgium's version of Sherlock Holmes, more or less. And you are helping transport this painting to a giant gallery in London. And some shit happens, and the painting's gone missing. So now it's up to your brilliant mind to figure out what the fuck has happened and catch the little assholes responsible and put their little bitch asses in jail. It plays very much like a Sherlock game, which is fantastic because I love those types of games. And yeah, you go around, you find clues, and as you find stuff, it's a lot of talking with people to find clues. And eventually you have what's basically your mind palace to make deductions with. And you just see if there's a number next to a set of chains. And if there is, that means a deduction can be made. And then you look at the deduction board and you see a whole bunch of shit, a bunch of gears that all have words on them. And you have to drag one to another one to create a line, and hopefully it's the right one. And if not, you just keep trying until you figure it out. So even you can play this, Joe. And yay. Yeah, it's great. And if you're having a lot of trouble with this, there is one really great thing. After you've tried and failed and fucked up like three or four times, it actually highlights all of the things that can be connected. If you have more than one connection you can make, you still have to figure out what goes with what, but at least then you know the things that go with each other. And if anyone's like, well, how do you know that? Because I suck sometimes at logical deductions.
As bad as I suck at pronouncing names?
Not that bad, but aww. Pretty close. Pretty close. And no, the butler didn't do it. There's no butler. So, yeah. There's 9 chapters of this. The first one is basically a little tutorial that gives you a very small, quick little thing. It takes like 5 to 10 minutes to beat. That basically explains how the game plays. Explains the deduction board. It explains how the find clues let you go through conversations with people, so on and so forth, to teach you how to play the game. And even it is still connected to this later case. You just don't really know how until later, because it's great. And then from level 2 onwards, you are in London, and it all involves this same stuff. So, and someone in chat asked, is it like Clue? No, it is not. Not even remotely. No. It's like Sherlock Holmes, just much easier. So much easier. It's fantastic. I loved this. So I was like, oh, they've made everything I like about Sherlock easier so I can do it more easily. This is great. The game is pretty short. Every chapter in this can take anywhere from like 10 minutes to a little over an hour-ish. And again, there's only 9 chapters. So that's really nice. So it goes by real quick. And yeah, it's great. There's lots of voice acting, and most of it is pretty good. Some of it is a little weird and wonky sounding, but it overall, it is fantastic. The deduction board was probably one of my favorite things, because it is a lot easier than the Sherlock's version of it, because there's only just the one deduction board instead of the three different ones that Sherlock games have. So I'm really for it. It was really fun. I really enjoyed it. And yeah.
Now it clocks in at 40 on console, 30 on PC. What are your thoughts?
I think it's worth it. It's a good little fun game. If you like the Sherlock games, I think you're going to like this. It's a bit easier, and it's just fantastic.
Cool. All right, next up, Daymare, 1994 Sandcastle, developed by Invader Studios, published by Leonardo Interactive, released August 30th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $34.99. I believe it has separate releases on Xbox and PlayStation, separate achievement list, possibly. I didn't look into it. Daymare 1994 Sandcastle is a third-person story-driven survival horror game prequel to the critically acclaimed Daymare 1998. Step into the shoes of Agent Delilah Reyes, a former government spy now in the service of Hades Unit, and prepare to face true horror. Aki, tell us about your time in Daymare 1994 Sandcastle.
So Reyes is really hot. Okay, so in this, you play basically as the techie scientist for this secret paramilitary company, I guess, called Hades. It seems very much like, you know, the SWAT team, but privately owned, I assume. It doesn't go a lot into what Hades itself actually is in this game, probably because it's a prequel. And you have been, you and a very small team of you, your boss, and your boss's boss, basically, you're all going to deal with a situation that's happened at Area 51. Yes, the Area 51. You are there to find a scientist type and get a little briefcase and get it back. That's it. That is your job. You can't fuck up something that simple. Meet a dude, take the briefcase the fucker is carrying, go the fuck away. Three steps. Very easy. You fail it immediately. everything goes to shit. Immediately, you find that not only are you going there, you find out that you're not supposed to be there anymore. It is now a no-fly zone. So if they catch you, they will shoot your ass down. It appears that Section 8, which is some super secret government military specialists, are there and have like a kill on site order for everybody. So don't get caught or prepare to put a lot of bullets in a lot of heads either way. And the entire place is locked down, and no electricity is being supplied to any of it. So have fucking fun dealing with every piece of foobar that has just been put in your way. And yeah, so you're the tech person. Guess what you get to figure out how to do? Fix every part of that. Woohoo!
Yay!
Yeah, so you very quickly find yourself down into a super secret laboratory. And you find some sort of weird zombie things that are being powered by this weird electrical orb that occasionally shows up and just zaps things back to life. Oh, and these zombie things, they can teleport, because fuck you, that's why. So yeah, it's fun. You're not prepared for this, nor is the other two people in your team, because you are a three-person fucking team. But you do find a bunch of Section 8 bodies, like dozens of them. So, yeah, this is your fun time. You get to fight your way through crazy zombies and try and find your team, because you get separated from them immediately. So, yeah, this is basically your story of figuring out what the fuck was happening down here and trying to get this briefcase where it's supposed to be. So, yeah, have fun with that. I think this game took me like 15 hours to beat or so. There are a bunch of achievements for this that are pretty easy, and there's a few extremely hard ones that I don't think I'll ever get, which makes me very sad. There's one for beating it on hardcore mode, which makes the enemies stronger, obviously, makes them do more damage. It makes them take more damage before they go down. It also heightens their reflexes, so they move much faster to dodge your bullets, which is super fun because they are assholes like that. They also unfreeze quickly because one of the cool gimmicks of this game is you get a nitrogen pack, more or less, that you can shoot nitrogen at enemies and overheated metal for gameplay puzzle mechanics. But it allows you to freeze them or slow them if you don't freeze them completely. In which then you can kill them much faster if they're frozen. So if it's on hardcore, they break out of being frozen much faster and they unfreeze much faster. And it was already hard enough on story mode, which is the easiest. And there's also one for getting an A rank and an S rank. I did manage to get a B rank on my first playthrough. So the A rank, I think, might be doable for me. The S rank, I'm pretty sure I am completely and utterly fucked. And there's also an achievement for not dying in the game. And people, when I say you can't die, I don't mean, oh, you're starting to die, so you immediately quit out of the game. They don't give a shit. That is still a fuck you, you died to the game. I know. Yeah. Oh, it hurt my feelings so bad because I got to the end of the game because I was doing that. And I was like, and I got to the end of the game. And I was like, all right, none of those deaths should count. I had 10 deaths. And I was like, no. I about cried. I was so upset. I was like, no. For some of you, you're like, oh, you about cried because you didn't get an achievement. It's not just that, you guys. For all the achievements you get, you unlock things as well. Most of these things are like gallery features, like, oh, you get this achievement, you get to see, you know, art of Reyes or of her boss or of her boss's boss, things like that. Or you get to see some artwork of this zombie or this weapon or this suit or whatever. Some of them, though, like the don't die, gives you infinite nitrogen so you never have to refill it. And I wanted that to make my other runs easier. And I am sad and angry. That's fun. There's also a couple of them that give you different skins for your weapons as well. I haven't gotten any of those either, I don't think. So, yay! Throughout the game, you do find upgrades for the two guns that you have. You carry a shotgun and an SMG. You find different upgrades. Both of them have one that basically increases how much ammo capacity it has. And I think both of them also have an accuracy increasing one, I believe. You also find a ton of upgrades for your nitrogen thing that just lets you either refill your power better or it takes less of the nitrogen that's in your tank, and a few things that let you change what you're doing. And I'm not going to ruin that because it's fun. I'll let you figure it the fuck out yourself. you're not just fighting these same basic zombies. That's a lot of what you're fighting. There's two basic ones. There's a blue one, which you can just shoot and it'll eventually fall over dead like a little bitch. And then there's red ones. You have to freeze those and kill them, because if they're not frozen, they just get back up after a few seconds. They're misery. And if you're fighting a bunch of blue ones, if you kill a zombie and it's near a dead body that isn't another zombie, basically, or it's near a living zombie, the electricity comes out of it and either goes to one of the dead bodies and just turns it into another zombie that you then have to kill, or it goes into the living zombie and makes it one of the immortal ones. So that's fun. You can destroy the little orb with your nitrogen if you're fast enough. I usually was not, so fuck me, I guess. There's also some other enemies that, you know, deal with like projectiles and some other ones that can instantly kill you, which is where all 10 of my deaths came from, which hurts my feelings. There's a couple there. I think there's two bosses. One of them becomes a standard enemy and the other one is like the last boss. So meh. But mostly you are fighting like a normal and undying variant of two different of these zombie things for most of the game. And they are surprisingly dangerous and it gets surprisingly tense for only having what amounts to basically two types of enemies throughout most of this game. It is surprisingly tense. Cause the game is not against being like, oh, hey, yeah, you can take down one of them at a time. So let's put you in a small room and here's like 10 of them. Eat a dick. so yeah, very tense, very difficult, very fun game. There are some puzzles, almost all of them really just revolve around, hey, cool off this metal by spraying nitrogen on it constantly, the end, you're good now. which is nice. I thought the game was broken because they don't tell you you can just continually shoot nitrogen. They tell you you can shoot a blast of it, which shoots out like a little ball of it, like a little cannonball.
Yeah.
But you can hold it down. You just spray it. And they don't tell you you can just spray it. So I spent like 2 days thinking the game was broken because they didn't tell me that. And you need to know that in order to beat like the very first puzzle you come across, which is immediately after you get the pack. So how people just hold the button down and you can just spray it continuously. Just know that.
Well, the game's clocking in at $35. What's your verdict?
I was really impressed by this. I totally suggest it. I don't know why Cole didn't like the first one, but now I really want to play the first one.
Cool. All right, one last game for you. Chants of Senar, developed by Rundisk, published by Focus Entertainment, released September 5th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Legend says that one day a traveler will reunite the peoples of the Tower who are unable to communicate with each other, observe, listen, and decipher ancient languages in a fascinating universe inspired by the myth of Babel. Aki, tell us about your time in Chants of Senar.
Okay, and this, you play as someone. That's as far as I know about that. And
helpful.
I know, right? And you have entered what is apparently a tower, you find out later on, unless you've read the description, which tells you it's a tower. I just thought it was a dusty, weird thing for quite some time, because I was like, I don't know. And you can't speak anything. You don't know what any of these people are saying. You kind of just have to figure it the fuck out. Throughout the entire game, you actually get to visually see what they're saying, but it's all just symbols, like hieroglyphics and the like. And you can open up basically this little journal and you can see every symbol you've seen and you can type on any one of them what you think that word means, which then puts that word wherever that symbol shows up, and you can start to make out what they're trying to say. Eventually, you are given the ability to validate what they say, and in that, your character opens their journal and actually draws out some pictures in their notebook, and you drag those symbols to what picture they go with. And if you're correct, all of those words are filled out properly. And so, like, you might be like, oh, this one means C, but obviously C also means to look. And you might be, look at that. It's not see that. It's look at that. So anytime, if you get it validated, anytime that word shows up, it actually tells you what form of it is being used, which is really nice. It helps you figure out words that you don't know a lot easier. Whereas if you've written it out, you'll just see what you wrote and that's it. You end up going through basically this caste system as you climb up this tower, and each caste has its own language, incomplete, that you have to figure out. And by this, I don't just mean, oh, they have this symbol for how you say people. This one might say people this way, but this one might have a completely different form of saying people. Like, One class might say person means people. Another one might have plural person means people, or people plural means people. And you have to figure that out even, which is so complicated. And later on, you even get to talk with some people and you have to translate between the different caste systems, which means you actually have to have a working understanding of how they speak, which is so hard. So hard. it's just this really interesting game. There are a bunch of puzzles in it, but a whole bunch of them just revolve around you have to figure out what you're doing in a world where you don't know any of the damn words and you're still trying to figure out the words. Because it's not like, oh, halfway through this area, I have all the words and I can just get through the rest of this area easy peasy. No, the very last thing you usually do at the very end of that area is figuring out a whole bunch of other words that you hadn't figured out yet. So throughout that entire level, you are constantly trying to solve puzzles that involve you also trying to figure out what the fuck the puzzle is even saying to figure out what to do. It is so mind-breakingly hard. And I loved every second of this game.
I can tell you did, because I didn't even have a chance to play this and you just blew through it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I beat this in like a day and a half.
Like, I thought we were covering this next week, and you're like, I'm ready now.
Okay. And it was so good. The only reason I even went to bed instead of just playing it in one sitting is because I was about to pass out from being overheated. If I had my air conditioning, I just wouldn't have slept. I would have played straight through this game in one sitting. Jeez. Happily. Oh, I love this game. And to answer the question, yes, go buy this game. I don't care how much it costs. It's irrelevant because I like this game so much that if I actually did Game of the Years, which as we all know, I don't because I don't care that much, this would probably be it for me.
Wow.
Like as fun as Stray was, this was so amazing. And this so far has been my single most favorite game this entire year.
Wow. That is high praise from you.
Yeah, because I don't talk about stuff like that. I love this game. If any of you have an interest in languages, if you have interest in puzzles or just figuring things out in general, you're gonna love this game. It is so awesome. It's so pretty. It's so interesting. And quite frankly, I know we use this word and we laugh at it. It is very unique.
Unique.
I am thoroughly impressed by this game, and I cannot suggest it highly enough to everyone.
Well, I gotta ask anyway. It's $20. What's your verdict?
Yes, 100%. It is worth it.
Cool. All right, and finally, Jacob's here. Jacob, how you doing?
I'm recovering after my colonoscopy.
How's your butthole feel?
It actually feels okay. It was really surprising. No, they don't let you have mint flavored stuff.
Oh, that bullshit.
So what it is they make you take like as part of your prep, they make you take like Dulcolax and Miralax, like a full bottle of Miralax too, which I was like, don't know how I feel about this, but and then finish it off with a couple of gas X's. But, yeah, like everyone has always been like, oh, it's so bad. Like you're going to spend the whole day pooping and like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And like your beehole is going to burn. But, yeah, like I was drinking like ice cold water, and like nothing else during it. And I'm not going to lie. It's kind of frightening having stuff come out of your butt and it's still cold. Like I didn't know the human body could do that. Yeah.
Cool. Next game to talk about Smurfs cart. No.
Hey, hold on. We're still supposed to have Taco Bell talk.
I just thought it would be funny if I pretended we were going right into Smurfs.
Oh, okay.
That would have been entertaining.
But yeah, like, it also sucked because, like, they have to put it, like, when you go in for it, they have to, like, put in, like, an IV for fluids and stuff because obviously you haven't been drinking a lot, and you've also been pooping everything out. And they couldn't find a vein on me twice. And after, like, the second stick, like, apparently, like, I lost all, like, color in my face. And I remember telling the nurse, like, ma'am, I'm gonna be sick. It's like, so she threw, like, a barf bag at me, which thankfully I never had to use. But I seriously thought I was gonna, like, lose all bodily control right there. But I held on. And, yeah, they removed a polyp. And they're gonna send it to the lab to see if it's cool or not. And then we'll go from there. And then afterwards, because part of it was like I'd been like mentally telling myself like this isn't so bad. You know, I'm just gonna get a bag of burgers at the end. When I finally got out, it was still too early, and McDonald's hadn't switched over their menu. So we went over to Taco Bell for breakfast, where I got two of their breakfast crunch wraps. And like the irony was sat with me as I was eating my second one that, you know, I just spent the day like pooping my guts out, and I'm going to have Taco Bell as my first meal out of there. So
second verse, same as the first.
But I didn't. Interestingly enough, my stomach has just like seriously been like the whole time like, oh, solid food, how sexy. So and then I just slept a ton, like for those not paying attention or caring about, like, you know, the man behind the curtain, Joe and I were supposed to record like 4 hours ago, and it's now like 4:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Yes, which also explains why Saturday. He just disappeared suddenly after finishing her review.
I'd like to think that I use my magic powers to make her disappear.
Close enough. Editing is kind of magic when you think about it.
Yeah, but I don't have the magic editing powers you do.
Bree said Taco Bell was the first meal after her procedure. Why aren't you in here? Just jump in here and talk to us about this stuff. Hop in. Join us.
Yeah, Bree, let's talk about colonoscopies together. Colonoscopy buddies.
It'd be funny if, like, left the show to stream and then immediately came back. Like, oh, hey, I'm God, back to no. talk about poop.
Good Lord. You mean like, I thought you meant like immediately come back on after the colonoscopy. And I was like, yeah, no, that would not have happened.
I still think you should have done it from the bathroom. Just hey, the whole show from the bathroom.
Honestly, you just would have heard garden hose noises like half the time. Like, it was just, no.
Hey, Bree.
Bree?
I'm trying to see if everything's working. Hold on.
Oh, okay. I mean, we can hear you.
The Taco Bell, huh?
Yeah, I got one sausage crunch wrap and one steak crunch wrap.
I miss their country breakfast crunch wraps that had the country gravy, like when they first started doing Taco Bell breakfast.
I never got that. I remember sticking almost solely with the breakfast tacos, and they had like a breakfast burrito. And I remember sticking with those, and it wasn't until like they took off the breakfast tacos that I went over to the breakfast crunch wrap, and I was like, oh, where have you been all my life?
See, I just don't like their spicy sauce that they put in it.
Well, you can request it without.
Yeah, I do. Wait, but
okay.
Oh, what?
It's the jalapeno sauce that they put on the their quesadillas.
They put on everything at Taco Bell. I hate that.
I don't think it's that bad. I mean, like, if you got somebody who loaded it up with it, then yeah, it stinks. But otherwise, I don't know. I think it's a welcome addition. But honestly, the thing is, what I went with Taco Bell because it was either McDonald's breakfast or Taco Bell breakfast. And honestly, like McDonald's, like I can have like two McGriddles and I feel like complete trash, but I could eat Taco Bell breakfast. Like I could have a ton of it and I don't feel like I feel fine afterwards. And I don't know why that is, but it's one of those, I just don't question it. And I just go along with it.
I have never had Taco Bell breakfast. Sell me on.
Oh, you're missing out. Like, their crunch wraps are so good.
Take a tortilla, put a hash brown on it.
Yeah.
Put, like, eggs and bacon.
And no, then, you don't get bacon. Bacon is such a waste on that meal. You get either sausage or steak. Like,
well, I was given bacon as like the traditional breakfast answer, but sausage is better, obviously. Sausage, egg, and cheese with the hash brown in a tortilla wrapped up, and you eat it.
That sounds like a heart attack.
I'm down to try it.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
No, it doesn't.
It really does. When you think about what's in there, yeah.
How does that sound like a heart attack? It sounds like a standard American breakfast.
Yes.
Exactly.
I'm ready to eat myself to death. It's fine. Let's go.
Yeah, I miss their country. When they first started, they had a whole bunch of weird breakfast items, and they had the Crunchwrap, but with country gravy sauce.
Oh no!
Oh my god, it was so good.
Really?
Oh, I loved it.
Okay.
Then they had the egg taco?
Yeah. One? Yeah. I mean, it was like I don't even remember how to describe it, because it wasn't like a waffle taco, but I mean, like, was it? I don't know. I just remember the breakfast taco and it being like, yeah, it's all right.
Well, they had a waffle taco and they had an egg taco. Or like the shell was... Whatever happened
to the choco taco?
Oh man, those were good.
I've been increasingly disappointed with Taco Bell. I'm going to be honest. Like, maybe I should try their breakfast instead, because like they've removed just about everything else I really enjoy from the menu. Like, I think one of my favorite things ever was the chili cheese burrito.
Oh yeah, that was good.
I miss it so much.
Yeah, no, I definitely recommend their breakfast. So you should definitely like. They serve it till
that time of day.
That's fair.
What time are you awake at?
Well, I usually go to bed between 4 and 5 in the morning. So
okay, so late. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, because yeah, they stop serving at 11.
Breakfast then.
I don't like being awake when the sun comes up. I mean, like the actual act of the sun rising, it creeps me out because I have some deep trauma from some stuff I did back when. Anyway,
that sounds like a conversation for a whole new podcast.
It really does. At the same time, Joe, were you aware that we have a vampire in our midst?
I am really pale too. It's the anemia, I swear.
Well, she didn't bite me when she was here, so I guess that's a positive. Wait,
did you? Did she ask? Did she ask for permission to come into your house?
Yeah.
Oh dear.
I invited her.
Yeah.
Because I don't give a fuck. Bring it on. Ready to be a master of the night or some shit.
I mean, it goes good with cats.
Oh man. So Jacob, any other stuff you want to talk about, or are we gonna move into your reviews?
No, I think that's all the colonoscopy talk that we need to have.
Brie, anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm good.
What did you have for breakfast today?
I had a plum.
A plum? Just okay.
One? Yeah, I'm still feeling really poorly, so I can't eat very much. My stomach really hurts, so... Yeah.
Wait, were you having a procedure like you were saying in chat, or
have no? I probably sick? Will have to have one soon because I'm having so many problems with my stomach and digestion and the awful pains that come with that. So I see another procedure in my future. Yeah. Yay!
Yay! On the bright side, you're able to leave and you don't have to listen to Jacob talk about games.
But I will sit here and listen. Oh,
you're going to? That's cool.
I will. I can make little, like, disapproving noises and exasperated sighs, you know.
Jacob, did you have fun with Smurf's cart? Yes. All right, well, Jacob, should we dive into these? You got two to talk about.
Yep, let's go.
All right, first game is Anonymous Code, developed by Mages, published by Spike Chunsoft, released September 8th on Switch, PS4, and PC for $59.99. I love the description for this one. Hack into God. Jacob, tell us about it.
Well, unfortunately, you don't do that much hacking into God because it's a guided visual novel. But it's still a pretty cool one at that. If not a little confusing. So you may want to be sober when you're playing this one. But
are you not?
I plead the fifth. I'll talk about my confusion on this game later. So the game starts out with this scene where this unknown guy and unknown girl are on the run from the cops. And they have some sort of futuristic motorcycle called a Grapper or Graper. I don't know how it's pronounced because nobody ever says it. And I really wish that they could have just called their futuristic motorbike something else, because it's like, you know, one word or one letter away from negative. But that's what it is. And then, like, you're on the run from the cops, and suddenly something doesn't go right, and boom, you're back at the beginning of something. And I'm like, okay, maybe it was just, like, you know, trying to Tarantino it, like, you know, we're gonna watch this, but this is what everything that led up to that, kind of thing. And so you're introduced to our main character, who is this white hat hacker. And he and his buddy are trying to start up this, it's a white hat hacker duo organization. And they're trying to establish themselves. And so, like, they're doing these jobs. And eventually, he gets talking to some of his friends after they complete a job, and he's like, oh yeah, I have a girlfriend. And they're like, you know, oh, well, tell me about her. Well, she's up in Canada. You wouldn't know her. like, it leads into, like, one of those kind of conversations, and he ends up saying that, like, we're eloping. And everyone's like, what? And he's like, yeah, we're just going to meet up at this park tomorrow night, and, like, then we're going to go, and, you know, we're going to go elope, and you're not invited. And so, like, the friends are, like, they're hanging out, like, at a distance, like, waiting to see this girl show up, and randomly a girl does show up, unplanned, and she has this, like, imagine, like, this cutesy, like, the most cutesy version of, like, a Terminator, like, you need to come with me. Like, come with me if you want to live, kind of stuff. Yeah. And so, like, the two of them start walking around, and, like, it's all seemingly coming up with coincidences. And then you're on the run again, and you find yourself into the same situation that you were previously at the very start of the game. And then, meanwhile, you're also finding out this, that there's this, like, huge computer system that's been created by this guy who looks like he's, like, an 8-year-old kid. And it pretty much has the ability to predict any event anywhere in the world at any time. Like, so like, Joe, it could predict, like, what you're going to have for dinner, or, you know, Brie, it could predict up to the minute, like, what time you're going to fall asleep. So it starts playing in with this, like, you know, oh, there's an 87% chance that they're going to turn left down the street. 12%, you know, that they're going to turn left. It starts getting into, like, weird stuff like that. And it all starts, like, coming together, and I can't give away that much more without spoiling the game.
Yeah,
but it's interesting. It, like, if not potentially a little far-fetched, but it was entertaining enough. And honestly, like, as I was watching it, I was like, I mean, because they're doing it in an anime manga style, and I was just like, I don't know why they didn't just make an anime out of this. I'd watch it. Like, you know, like a 4 or 5 episode OAV or OVA, whatever the heck they call it. Something like that. And yeah, like, I mean, it, you don't get to make any decisions during this, or at least I hadn't progressed far enough that you do. But the art's cool. The music's entertaining. The only time I ever found it annoying is there's this one time because Gaia, which is the big computer system thing, like it's seemingly controlled by this like Rubik's Cube controller that the kid possesses. And there's this one scene where he's fiddling with it, and I couldn't decide whether it was supposed to be part of the music, because, I mean, it did have a very specific beat to it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, or was it just him fiddling with it? And I was just like, dude, this is going on for, like, 2 minutes too long with this dialogue that I have to read through. This, like, clack, 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 clack. But yeah, like otherwise I really dug this. Like I was really surprised by it. I haven't had to, I don't get to review these kind of games that often. So I also don't know how all visual, I've played plenty of visual novels, but I don't know. I still feel like I'm fairly new to it.
You play more of the cheaper visual novels. You don't play like the big ones like this. Like this is,
yeah,
this is more something that Brooke would have done, but she was like, I'm not familiar with the series. And this is...
I don't think it's a series, is it? Oh, wait, yes, it is. It's part of an anthology series. It's
adventure series from Mages.
It's an anthology series. That's right. I remember reading that.
Yeah, the previous games in the series were like Steins Gate, Chaos Child, Occultic Nine, which I'm kind of bummed. Some of those are on Xbox, but none of them are in English.
Yeah, I've been eyeing Steins Gate for a while because I'd heard good things about it. And yeah...
There's three Steins Gate games on the 360 that are playable on Xbox One, and none of them are in English.
Yeah.
Wait, do you have to like buy them through the Japanese store, or are they there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I don't think they're even available digital anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Wait, were they released here in the U.S.?
No.
Oh, Japanese. I don't. No, man. No, I didn't know if like you meant like, yeah, they're just not available, like, or they're not in English, like, because they just subtitled everything. I didn't know if that's what you meant.
They're entirely in Japanese. And then Chaos Child, that's available on Xbox One in Japan. Occultic Nine is available on Xbox One in Japan. I believe Occultic Nine is worth hundreds of dollars as well, if I'm remembering right.
I mean, it would be really cool if Spike Chunsoft releases those for Xbox. That'd be nifty.
Nice. It'd be nice. Even if
they weren't going to dub them, that'd be cool. Because honestly, I'd like to check these more of these games out. The confusing thing for me is that like I'm playing through like a ton of this game, and then all of a sudden it gives me like an anime intro, and I was just like, dude, like, am I just that slow of a reader that, like, you know, oh, well, you know, you just sat through, like, actually, like, only 10 minutes of dialogue, and now we're going to give you the anime introduction? Or is it like, you know, like, we're just going to toss in the anime introduction, like, 3 hours in? So I had a little bit of a panic moment right there during my review, but I found out I was normal, so. Whew.
So yeah, I'm looking at eBay right now. Occultic Nine, $400.
Spike Chunsoft, I love this. It needs to be on Xbox. This all, like your previous games from this series also need to be on Xbox. Yeah, please make it happen.
Translate them, localize them, send them over.
I don't know if Occultic Nine was ever localized.
You don't even need to dub them. Just bring them over. Come on.
Well, anonymous code is $60. It is on Switch, PS4, and PC. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, totally. I enjoyed the heck out of this. It has the story has a lot of twists and turns. The art's cool. I definitely check it out.
Cool.
I recommend it for $60.
Yeah.
I recommend you checking it out.
Cool. What is going on over at your house, by the way?
Kids are playing something. Hold on.
Anyway, final game to talk about tonight is Smurfs Kart, developed by Eden Games, published by Microids, released August 22nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $29.99. Who will be the fastest Smurf in town? That's the question you'll need to answer in this dynamic kart racing game in the world of Smurfs. Jacob, what is going on in Smurfs Kart?
So I had reviewed the Switch version of this previously, and I'm glad that it finally made the jump over to Xbox after a lot of people got microids to see the light. And yeah, I'm not going to lie. It seems like more or less of a straight port of that. Not a lot of improvements have been made, which is, I'm not going to lie, it's unfortunate. Because I don't know how simple it would be. Cause I mean, obviously I don't know how, I mean, I'm not a game programmer. I don't know how to do that kind of stuff, but, there doesn't seem to be much changes, but for those who don't feel like going back and listening to the original review,
what kind of changes would you expect out of something like this? Because in my eyes, if they change too much, it would be a different game.
No. Like the changes I would have wanted, and this is something that like I've also discussed with another publisher before with Cart Games, with Outright Games, is that for kids, like I understand why they have like a very set, like this is what the controls are and this is just what it's going to be. I mean, because obviously it's aimed at kids. Kids can only do so much on a bigger controller. But at the same time, for adults that are playing with them, it creates like a huge problem because A, we've already played tons of cart games, and so we're already used to other controls. But also being able to remap those controls helps prevent hand cramping for us old folks. which, unfortunately, for Smurfs Kart, they didn't do anything with that. And so, like, I'd be there playing with my kids, and I'd be able to get through, like, maybe two of the Grand Prix. And then I'd have to be like, guys, I gotta put my controller down. I'll have to sit this one out because, like, I just can't. I can't keep doing this. My arthritic
hands are cramping up.
Yeah. And then the other change that I would have made was just like the lighting in a bunch of the levels. Like, because once you start doing the Gargamel Grand Prix, or I forget what it's exactly called, but it's a Grand Prix featuring Gargamel. A lot of Gargamel centric levels. And it's very poor lit. And so you can't always see where you're going. And it makes it very difficult. On top of it, there'll be some points where, like, if you're speeding around a corner and you accidentally, like, you're airborne for a moment, there'll be times where, it's not entirely clear why you made it that time, but like previously, like you might have been like 1 degree off, and you didn't make it that time. And like, there were times where I had jumped a further distance at like a greater angle and I made it, but a shorter distance, which theoretically should have just been like me, like I don't know, just like crossing from one wooden plank with a little bit of airspace in between to another one, and I fell through. And it's just I don't know why, like, and I don't know, it's just stuff that like it would have been able to be better to be seen. And especially when you're playing on multiplayer, even on a big screen TV. So you're already having like a little bit of an issue seeing, stuff in some of these Gargamel levels. But like, if you're playing with other friends or your kids on a big screen TV, that's now compounded because your screen just got that much smaller. And it's pretty unfortunate. And I point to like Mario Kart 8, which is also a big thing that my kids like. That has plenty of dark levels too, but there's never a moment where you can't see what exactly is going on. Like, because they still have up some sort of alternative lighting, whether it's torches on the castle walls, or whether the floor is lit up by like fire underneath or something like that, you still have an idea of where you're supposed to be going. And just with the later levels, you just don't. And I guess you could say that like they viewed it as like, oh, that's a bit of a challenge, but it's not a fun challenge. Like, because it doesn't make sense. I mean, it does visually make sense, but gameplay wise, like it just ends up feeling confusing and frustrating, more than like, and you end up focusing more on, trying to figure out where you're supposed to be able to go instead of like the competitive nature, that these kind of cart games lead to. So, I mean, that part's unfortunate. However, it's still not going to dissuade me from, you know, recommending this, especially if you've got kids. My kids ended up playing this more on the Xbox than the Switch, which, I mean, it kind of makes sense because Xbox really is their console of choice. But, you know, you have 16 different Smurfs that you could choose from. Each one of them has their own unique power up. Which, you know, as you play through, you're going to figure out like who does what and what really suits your play style. And a lot of the levels are fun and the music is a lot of fun too. Honestly, the music, in my opinion, is the best part. But I really do enjoy all the different Smurfs that you can play as. And a lot of the levels, I'm sorry, what?
I want to know what Smurfs you can play.
Oh, okay. There is an astronaut Smurf or Astro Smurf, I think it's called, Papa Smurf, Smurfette. There's Farmer Smurf. There's another girl Smurf, and I forget what her name is. There's Clockwork Smurf, who is my favorite. There is Jokey Smurf, who is an absolute pain in the butt because he tosses these.
Does he toss the exploding presents? Because that would be like the power that would make sense. I'm sorry, yeah, I'm like actually, a really big Smurf does. Fan, so I'm having a hard time staying quiet. I'm really excited now. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
FD so, Smurf. Smurf Blossom. Clumsy Smurf.
Clumsy Smurf I do remember playing as. Because I'm also trying to like visualize what everyone looks like. Because I'm, on the other hand, not a huge Smurfs fan. Like, I don't mind them, but I didn't grow up with them. So, I'm sorry.
I had an epic collection of Smurf figurines. Like, I sold it for $800 when I was done. That's like how much Smurfs. Yeah.
It's a lot of Smurfs.
I love the Smurfs. I know. I had so many. I had some from Europe when I was a kid I had a whole huge collection from around the world. It was crazy.
My oldest used to have a collection of McDonald's did a Smurfs the Lost Village thing, and each Happy Meal came with a Smurf house and a little Smurf like figurine. And I mean, Sam, oh good lord, he was like 2 or 3 when it came out. I remember us just like playing for hours, even if he wasn't in the car or like we didn't have to go to lunch, I would always swing by McDonald's to like see like if they had the new houses in, and like, you know. And so he had like a little nice Smurf village going for a while, but yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed them, but anyway,
sounds like you enjoyed Smurfs Kart despite some of the shortcomings. Good thing is it's only 29 honestly, Smurfs. So what is your rating? Smurf it, Smurf it, or Smurf it?
Well, you're gonna Smurf the heck out of this game. Honestly, it's a solid cart title. Like, it really is. My real issues are with like the final levels of it. But like, even then, I mean, once you start playing them enough, obviously you're going to do track memorization, and so it's not going to be as big of an issue. But especially for $30, I totally recommend it. Like, I'm glad this came to the Xbox, and I'm looking forward to see what other Smurf titles we can get. I mean, I still throw in the Mission Vileaf game, the one that's like Smurfs but Super Mario Sunshine. That one, like, I still toss that on every once in a while. Like, the Smurfs games from Microids are solid games, and so I'd recommend checking not only this one out but the other ones too.
Cool. All right, well, that is it for this episode. We made it through. Bree, thanks for coming back and hanging out at the end here with Jacob and I. Thanks to Aki for coming on and doing her thing the other day when we did that stuff. Music at the end, we're going to play something from Eric WK because he has a handful of Smurf songs. I don't know which one yet because they might be profane. So
So you're going to review them before adding them to the show.
I'm going to review the songs and find a good one before committing to which one is on here, but it will likely be a Smurf song. The name of the album is Alberto Effing Gonzalez. It's the name of the album. And it's not spelled effing.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It says the naughty word. It's a naughty word.
Is the naughty word fart knocker?
No.
Oh.
You're bad at this.
Oh my gosh. How bad is that word then? Because I mean, that I just said the worst word in the world.
Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
I don't know. Does anyone want to do some more colonoscopy talk?